B-Pod Studios.
Sci-fi.
Whoa.
Anime.
Whoa.
Video games.
Whoa.
Comic books.
Whoa.
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
This is Nerd Radio.
Excellent.
Welcome to another week of Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, part of the B-Pod Studios Network, and all over your social media, Nerd Radio 101. I'm your host, Chuck B, and I'm joined by Mr. Al Beck.
I'm here.
And James.
Hello.
For another week of Nerd Radio. You guys, how you doing?
I'm so glad everyone is here. I was worried for a moment.
You were a little worried. You put a video up on, Facebook Live?
Well, it wasn't live. No, that's which it would have made more sense to do.
It's too much commitment for Alex.
And the thing is, like, I don't think it was the greatest video, and I still committed to it, so I might as well have just gone live.
He wants to be able to take it and do another take in case he jacks it up.
Yes, he likes to reserve the right to edit any and all content that
there
he pumps
go.
Out.
But it was super weird to me because the normal, like, the way things go, Chuck usually gets in, you know, well, James and I have been here all morning working.
I'm usually sitting here when you guys walk in the studio. Prepping.
So you come in and you're up here in the studio already, and then James and I usually come up around the same time, you know, depending on whoever's finishing
depending
up
on if my
up.
Windows 95 computer's crashing or not.
Which is pretty much every week.
It's crashing today.
Yes. So I, whatever. All right, James, I'll see you upstairs. I come up and Chuck's nowhere to be found. And I'm looking around and then I'm just sort of sitting here, and then Rick, I can see because, you know, like the studio's like all glass, you know, walls, and Rick is literally running down the hallway towards the studio, and I'm just sitting here watching, and he opens the door, and he does make a joke about, like, oh, I heard you were in here or whatever. Like, he made a joke about, like, you know.
They're so mean.
Well, it wasn't even.
They could never be happy to see us.
Well, here's the thing. He wasn't even, like, super mean. It was just like, you're here. But anyway, and then he, like, checked something on the computer where James normally sits, mumbled something about a show, and then ran out of the studio and booked it all the way back down the hallway. And I have no idea what the hell that was all about.
Weird Beard's New Year's resolution is to get more exercise, and he's doing that by running everywhere.
So I started getting nervous. Like, are we still doing this? Is it Wednesday? What happened? Where is Chuck?
What day is it?
Forget who the F is JC. Where the F is JC? And so I shot a video, and Chuck arrived as I was shooting the video. And now
That's
I...
True.
I got lonely, and now I feel full. My heart
now,
is full.
Yeah, now we're here.
Good. Nerd Radio crew is here.
Your anxiety is going down.
Well, that's always a peaking constantly. It's just a different. The cause changes.
So here we are with another week of Nerd Radio, and this week is extra special because last weekend was Astronomicon.
Yes, and I didn't go, so I had to get all my talking up at the top.
Right. Well, you weren't allowed to go. You actually, we had a very uncomfortable conversation Friday morning where you were all prepped and ready to go, and I had to inform you that you were being punished for only using one or two of the drops and were not allowed to come with us to Astronomicon. But me and James.
Oh, no!
That's one of them.
Had a fantastic time at Astronomicon.
It.
We posted all over the Instagram and the social media.
Yeah. Which there's a great photo of the two of you together.
I know. I'm so upset that that photo is so good and you're the only thing that's missing.
Right. However, and I told you this when we talked about this before, the fact that I'm not there and you're at a con means I'm there in spirit because I don't like people and going places.
That is true.
So it really is the perfect Nerd Radio photo.
I hope that this is the year that we drag you to, like, Motor City or something. I want to see Al getting, like, just grumpy about being around
people. You know what would be funny, though? We take him, we think he's going to be grumpy, but he gets there and he, like, falls in love. Like, it's like Al in Disney World.
He suddenly becomes this huge extrovert.
Yeah, he's buying artwork.
Yeah.
He's putting on cosplay.
He's
ziplining across the convention center.
Yeah, he's like, he really embraces it. It becomes his new thing.
Like that's riding the back of a Treyu.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah.
That won't happen. I can tell you that right now. I might be able to tolerate it, but.
So, yeah, this weekend, Astronomicon was an absolute blast. And you can experience it with me right now as part of our podcast. If you subscribe to our podcast or wherever you get in your podcast, as we're speaking Wednesday afternoon while we're on Twitch, the episode with all the interviews is up. Right now, it's an extra episode. You're going to get two episodes this week for Nerd Radio. So that's either a blessing or a curse. I'll let you decide. But yeah, I got to talk to a couple of the cosplayers that were out there, which were absolutely fantastic, both dressed as Borderlands characters on Saturday when I talked to them. Got to talk to Darren McCarty, which was a fantastic time. I didn't even plan on talking to him. He was there as part of Mess Bucket Comics. Dominic Riggio, who's been on this show, he has a comic called Donnybrook, which is a hockey-based comic, and each team is head up by a different one of his friends. Darren McCarty is the coach or the head of one of the teams, so he was there to promote the comic and everything like that, and that was really, really fun. Also got to talk to... Let me see here. Robert Carradine of Revenge of the Nerds, which this is the third Revenge of the Nerds guy I've gotten to talk to. And it didn't occur to me. Yeah, last year at Motor City, I got
to
talk
to... You've completed the trifecta?
A little bit, yeah. Now I'm wondering how many of them I'll get to talk to before
before they die.
Right.
They're getting up there in age.
Yes, and also got an opportunity on Sunday to sit down with Brutus the Barber Beefcake. Those are all in the Nerd Radio podcast that you can download today. On WRIF.com or wherever you get your podcast. James, you had a busy week.
I did.
At Comic-Con
I also had a chance to sit down and talk with Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
I can tell from over here.
But there was much less chit-chat and more snipping with the garden shears.
Yep, you got yourself a haircut
from one of the most world-famous barbers in all the land.
I feel like you should have fought him first.
Oh, actually, I don't want to wrestle the old man. He could barely get up. Get those shears going.
But I
probably would have won that match.
I feel like that's when his haircuts are at his best, is when his adrenaline's up and when he's gotten to put the sleeper on somebody and knock him out. I feel like that's when I think that's part of his process.
Is it?
I think like when he's wrestling a guy, he's really like feeling up the back of your head and he's figuring out what he's going to have to cut.
What needs to be trimmed.
He's putting you in the headlock and he's getting a good look at the top and trying to figure it out. So
I did all the work for him. I was like, hey, here, get rid of this.
Yeah. I would say, judging from James's current buzz cut, I'm thinking Chuck may be onto something here, that he needed the adrenaline rush. Because when you left yesterday, you're like, I got to go get my hair fixed. You came back today with a buzz cut.
Yep. Well, I had high hopes that the lady, the girl who does my hair or cuts my hair or whatever, my stylist or whatever, they want to refer to the Lady Jane's stylist as, I was like, well, maybe she can salvage something. And my fiance is like, go see her. Go see Natalie. She might be able to salvage, you know, some of your hair so you don't have to just completely buzz it. And I sat in the chair and she's like, well, we're going to have to go real low. I'm going to have to go real, real low. I'm like, do whatever you got to do to where it looks as close to normal as possible.
Right.
So then she gets to the top. She buzzes the sides and gets to the top. Because the sides was really messed up because Brutus took, like, the gardening shears and almost went all the way to my scalp. So there's just a big line down the side of my head. So that's why I had to go so low on the sides. And then on the top, she's like, well, she's like, I can kind of trim it with the scissors. Do you want me to trim it with scissors or do you want me to take the clippers? I'm like, again, whatever you think is going to make me look the most normal, do with that. So she's trimmers and just trimmed it all. And
so did you just spend like the last 3 days wearing a hat until you get it fixed?
Yeah. Well, I mean, at home, because I was out at Astronomicon on Sunday.
Yeah.
At home, I don't have the hat on. My fiance's got to deal with whatever she's got to deal with.
Fair.
You know? But
she's
yeah,
seen the
hat.
Thongs.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, she kind of knew what I had planned and I knew what I was in for. Like I knew I wasn't going to come out looking you know, like a champ. I knew it was going to end up being a botch job of a haircut.
Hi, Robbie.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Just walking in. Would you like to be on the show? Do you want us to turn your mic up?
I guess.
All right. Let me get you here.
It's Valentine's Day this weekend, so I just wanted to come in and, you know, say what's up. Hope you guys have a good weekend and
share some love.
Treats for each other.
Oh, hey.
Oh, thank you.
Starburst.
One for you. Nice. And I unfortunately do have some work to do, so I can't stick around too long, but just have a good weekend, everybody.
Oh, well, thank you. That was very nice.
Robbie, where's mine? You gave them a star, but where's mine?
I'm going to eat it.
It was so nice. And then good to see you, Robbie.
Thanks, Robbie. I'm glad you gave me the pink one.
I got the yellow.
That sucks.
Come on, guy.
I think these are left over from Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty.
Yeah, that's the gag there. Actually, they've got LSD in them or something like that. That's
sweet,
why
I'm in.
I got a lot to do today. I don't know if I have time for that.
I feel like your plan was a little off because you got the haircut and then met Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, well,
your fiance may have scheduled that.
Well, that was just more so. That's when it all came about. I wanted to do the haircut live on the Dave and Chuck Twitter page.
Right.
Had some technical difficulties with, I don't know if it's internet or what, but weren't able to do it live. So I posted the video on the Twitter page. Also as a way to kind of hype up the con, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So, people can still check that out, right? On your socials?
Yeah, the video is still alive on the internet. You can find it at the Dave and Chuck Twitter page. You can find it on all of my social media. It's there. I've gotten some really good reviews.
Yeah.
People are saying it's funny. So.
Yeah, no, it was real. I remember watching it over the weekend after it happened, like between days, I think Saturday night, checking it out. And it was good stuff.
Yeah.
It was very entertaining. Speaking of entertaining, I also am probably getting annoying with thanking you for this, but you shared the experience of talking to Kevin Eastman for the panel, which you can also check out on YouTube. It was it was one of those things that I try not to psych myself up for when I'm doing an interview with somebody or something like that. Like, I try not to think about it. I do like the bare minimum amount of prep. I know what questions I want to ask them, and then I don't think about it whatsoever so that I can think about it later about how cool that was.
Yeah.
And that's exactly like we sat down and we talked with him. We asked him a couple questions. We did the panel, everything like that. And then it was like an hour or two later, I think I was driving and I was like, oh my God, I talked to the Ninja Turtles guy.
Yeah, it was cool. That was a great opportunity. Like, thanks to the Astronomicon guys for A, asking me to do it, and then B, allowing me to bring you in.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have been able to do it by myself. You know, they kind of pulled me aside. I was a part of a panel with Twisted and Dirk Manning announcing the Twisted comic Haunted Hions. They're turning it into an animated series. They're partnering up with the guy, the executive producer behind The Boys. And
Preacher. That's so cool.
Yeah.
Ken Levin. So they're partnering up with him. They're going to try to turn it into an animated series. And there's also another series coming out. Then immediately after that is the Kevin Eastman panel.
Right.
And they're like, I know you don't have a lot of time to research, but can you host this panel?
Yeah,
like,
just sit with Kevin.
You need me to fill 60 minutes?
Oh my God, a whole
why don't
hour?
You know, why don't you just drop a bomb like, hey, you're going to interview George Lucas in 5 minutes?
Right.
You know, like.
I hope you got some stuff to ask him.
Yeah, so I'm freaking out. I'm like, I don't know what's new in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle world. I don't know what's going on. All I could ask him, you know, I'd ask him silly questions, you know, which ended up being not as silly once I wrote them down and we sat down and did it.
Yeah.
But then when I knew Chuck was there, and I know he was trying to get on the list where he could do an interview with Kevin, and I was like, why don't they just let Chuck Bean come up with me? We can do like a Nerd Radio, Nerd Radio panel with, you know, co-creator of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Kevin Eastman, and go from there. And dude, I think we killed it.
Yeah, no, it was a real fun. It was a real fun time. The questions were really cool. Yeah. A big part of it is that Kevin Eastman was a cool effing dude, man.
Super nice, super chill guy.
Yeah.
You know, he revealed some of his favorite characters. You know, from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle universe. He also revealed.
We talked about he really enjoyed the Nickelodeon show that came out a couple years ago, and I got to ask him about the old role playing game, and he like. Clearly remembered some of the characters I was referencing, which is great because he probably drew them once and then never thought about them ever again.
Yep, and I think you asking the question about the role-playing game, I think he's like, these guys are real fans. Like these...
Sure.
Like, who else is going to know that? And
James brought a ringer.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a genuinely, like, great interview. But you found out, like, some of his friends from high school, you know, inspired certain characters within the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know if that's ever been revealed.
It wasn't something I knew.
That. I didn't know that.
So that was cool. You also found... You also found out that he has never beaten the Nintendo Ninja Turtles.
Oh,
exactly.
Really?
Yeah. So these are things I'm trying to get. So if anybody wants to see it, if you go to the youtube.com/astronomicon, the panel is there. Please go watch it. Share it with anybody who's into the Ninja Turtles because I feel like we dropped some major bombs.
Yeah, it
and
was
I'm trying
fun.
To get some like nerd-related Twitter channels or different blogs to pick it up and talk about it.
Right.
You know, see if we can get it picked up and talked about. Because I just feel like we hit on so many things that I don't think a lot of people knew.
Yeah. And I want to give a shout out to the other Chuck, the man in the crowd that had the microphone that was kind of, you know, hyping the crowd up and stuff like that, because he knew about a comic that's coming out that's based on something him and Peter Laird done, you know, kind of hyper-violent version of, like, the Dark Knight Returns version of the Ninja Turtles, like the last Ninja Turtle story kind of thing. So that's going to be super fun. And, you know, shout out for him for...
Yeah, that's Chuck out in Boston.
Yeah.
As we are talking, I'm going to go ahead and post the video of that
thank you.
From the YouTube onto the Nerd Radio social media, so Facebook and Twitter, at Nerd Radio 101. Obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, you know it drops on Friday. Just go back a couple of days. So, but I'm posting it right now on Wednesday.
See, Al, you keep up doing work like that, you'll get to come to Astronomicon with me.
And then I can
Maybe
ask.
We can get you on the MASH panel.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh my God! That's the only panel I could really do. Bring me in for Ninja Turtles and just.
You can
nothing.
You can talk to Loretta Swit. Maybe get a nice photo with her.
Dude,
it'd be a good time.
Hot Lips. I made contact with Hot Lips on Instagram.
Oh, really?
Proudest moment of my life. She liked my comment.
Oh, I was going to say, would you just send her a pic of your privates and she blocked you?
Do the meltdown.
Yeah.
Blocked by Gene Simmons.
I like that there's a mash pun in there that he said you send her pictures of your privates.
I didn't even know what you're doing there.
Yeah. Your private Igor. Yeah.
That was good stuff. Yeah, so Astronomicon was a great time, and they're looking forward to doing it again next year.
Yeah,
it's really quickly turning into, it's the beginning of the con season here in the Motor City, and it's quickly turning into a fantastic beginning to go into all the cons. I know in a couple of weeks we've got the Great Lakes Comic Con to look forward to. In the spring there's the Motor City Con. The fall has YumaCon that I always look forward to. A bunch of great cons around here. So thanks to the Astronomicon guys for having us. This has basically been a 12-minute advertisement for Astronomicon.
Well worth it, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if I speak about them for 12 minutes, and hopefully they won't regret giving me press passes and give them to me again next year.
Exactly. And I'm sure they don't have no regret. No regrets.
No regrets.
They got no regrets.
No regrets.
No regrets. But I'm sure they have no regrets.
Fewer regrets than you do on that sentence.
Yes. Very true. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We do have some nerd stuff to get to. Last weekend also saw the release of Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey, as well as a new Netflix show. And we'll talk about that coming up on Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Hey, this is David Howard Thornton. You might know me as Art the Clown from the movie Terrifier, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
More Nerd Radio on the on your social medias at Nerd Radio 101 and all over the podcast page at WRAF.com, as well as in Boston.
Rock929rocks.com.
And every Wednesday afternoon on Checkpoint XP's Twitch stream.
Yes, you can find that at twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
Man, I almost made it through that sentence without just like garbling it up.
It happens.
Damn it. It's Chuck Bean, it's James, and it's Al Beck, fresh off Astronomicon and hanging out with you. And over the weekend, I know, James, you were super busy, but you were also very very excited to see the Birds of Prey movie.
Yeah.
Did you get opportunity?
I did, yeah. So before the weekend, I got into a press screening.
Excellent.
It's funny that they consider me a member of the press, because that seems like a much higher title than what I'm worthy of.
Right.
I wouldn't put
more
me
importantly,
press,
where's our passes?
You know? Exactly. Yeah, I thought they did a good job. I think I know what you're going to go, where you're going to take this down the road, so I'll save my comments about that for a minute. But I enjoyed how the movie was shot. I didn't really enjoy the story as much. But the way it was shot, it's like they shot this movie to totally take a graphic novel and put it on this big screen as a film.
Yeah, to give you the experience almost of what it would look like.
The close-ups directly related to like how you'd see different like illustrations in the graphic novel.
That's what
the fight sequences and the way that stuff was done very well.
That's what how I felt. Like, you know, the Hulk movie that everyone hated.
Yeah,
it had the panels that
with
would
Eric
move.
Bana.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I thought that like that alone was kind of cool. Even if you hate the rest of the movie, the fact that they kind of tried to make it feel like a comic by having the panels move across. Mm-hmm.
Sam Elliott was in that one too, right? And
he
Jennifer
was.
Connelly.
Yep,
it's a good cast.
Yeah,
Sam Elliott plays Connelly's dad, right?
Yeah,
he's
the
all
general.
Mad that she's banging the Hulk, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't bang the Hulk. I'm going to destroy my daughter.
I'm looking forward to... That's why James is here. Take her right to Dirty Town.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing Birds of Prey, quite honestly. Everybody, including you, that I've seen on Twitter, on Facebook, that has gone to see it, has said it is a fun movie.
Yeah.
However, according to all the news stories that I read as of Sunday night, it did not do the opening weekend they wanted it to do.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
it fell short of whatever the goal they were trying to hit. But I think it still led the box office.
Okay,
I think it still dethroned whatever Bad Boys 7 or whatever that movie is. I believe it dethroned that flick, but it just didn't hit the goals that they had set that they wanted to meet.
Yeah, according to those, it ranked in a mere $33 million. Oh, that's all?
Yeah.
Just $33 million? Oh, that's too bad. But, yeah, it's supposed to have been the lowest opening weekend gross for a DC Comics film in the last 10 years, which, considering some of the DC Comics films we've seen, I don't think that's fair.
Well,
I don't think that's fair
at all. Green Lantern come out? Was that less than 10 years ago?
It's real close.
Okay.
It's real close.
I can't remember. How did that do opening weekend?
I can't believe it. I keep getting reminded like every other week that Scott Pilgrim versus the World was 10 years ago, and I cannot,
wow.
I can't wrap my brain around that. But I'm still going to see it, and like I said, it's one of those things where you go on Rotten Tomatoes and like the professional reviewers all hate a movie, but then everybody else seems to love it. That's what it feels like this movie is.
Barely Under the Wire, by the way. Green Lantern was 2011.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
So 9 years. Holy crap!
Maybe it's the fact that so many of these movies we've all flocked to the theater to see on opening weekend, and then we're unhappy with. Mm-hmm. That people were like, I'm not going on opening weekend.
Well, I think part of it was, like, I think they're changing the title of the movie. I feel like they didn't market it very well.
No.
Okay.
We talked about it last week. It kind of snuck up on all of us.
Yeah. Hey, I didn't realize it was coming out that soon.
Right.
But I feel like you got Margot Robbie, who's a very attractive leading actress in this film, playing Harley Quinn, but you're not really putting that front and center. Like, I feel like they missed an opportunity on marketing the movie by... Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's all over the trailer.
Yeah, but you got to put it out there. Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn in Birds of Prey, Harley Quinn.
Almost
whatever,
seems like the type space should like have been like, Margot Robbie is in the biggest font point, and then it's like Harley Quinn, and then and then Birds of Prey is almost like the copyright down the corner.
Yeah. Birds of Prey is the least important aspect of marketing this movie. Right? Okay,
well, and apparently DC agrees with you because they've already changed the advertising going forward. Instead of it being Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of Harley Quinn, it is now Harley Quinn: colon, Birds of Prey.
Gotcha.
See, then that Colin.
Cool. I knew what you meant, but then I was like, "Do I?
Who the hell is Colin?
Do I make a Colin
now?
Joke?
I'm going to the movie. I gotta find out who Colin is.
Holy hell, Colin! hunk.
I screwed that. I screwed that up because I was really hoping you would make a Colin. You're like Harley Quinn Colin.
Oh, Harley. Take a look at Harley Quinn's colon.
Oh my God! Oh my!
That'll get
some tickets sold. Right? We're gonna give you a look on Harley
showing
Quinn's
up for
colon.
Margot Robbie's lower GI. Yeah. I don't think it's gonna sell too many tickets.
I don't know.
Get inside, Margot Robbie.
I feel like this is the way you dethrone Star Wars from box office.
It could be.
Well,
Tired of getting effed by Star Wars. Okay, done. Done.
Check out Harley Quinn's colon.
Speaking of the DC Universe and of Harley Quinn, I wanted to bring up the fact that it was announced over the weekend that coming up in Batman number 95, the Joker is getting a new female sidekick. Her name is Punchline.
Okay.
She is there to obviously replace Harley because Harley no longer hangs out with the Joker. According to the panels that they've already put online, it's the only woman to ever make the Joker laugh, as far as he says.
Really?
Ooh.
But yeah, it's a new sidekick, more of a Robin to his Batman,
okay,
if you will.
And this is in the Batman
in
comic?
James,
is Tom King still?
No, James Timney in the fourth is writing that right now, and that's coming up in Batman 95. He's good.
He's not, like we've said before, he's not a guy that would make me show up.
Right.
I wouldn't show up for him, but when he takes over a book, I'm like, yeah, okay.
Can I go on a tangent for a minute?
Sure. Of course.
I am running the show. So. But I just wanted to ask. So,
I approve.
Once again, I listen to that X-Men podcast, Jane Miles.
Yeah.
They explain the X-Men all the time. And I'm a year behind, but they did an episode at a con where they talked to a whole bunch of people. He was one of them. He is not a guy that, I don't think I've read any of his stuff. Honestly, he's not a guy that I'm like, oh, James Tynion's writing this. I got to read this kind of thing. But he brought up an amazing mindset that I hadn't thought of, because they were talking about how when characters go through different writers, something like that, sometimes you get a writer and it does not feel like the character that, you know, they're not writing Green Lantern. They're not writing Deadpool the way I envision Deadpool or something like that. And the one thing that he brought up is, think about somebody that you were friends with, like, say, back in high school that you haven't talked to in like 10 years. And then you meet them again.
Mm-hmm.
They're a completely different person.
And usually a mess. They're all strung out on drugs, you know. They find out they're...
What if the people from high school are never the mess?
What if I meet them? What if you're the mess?
Does that mean I'm the mess?
You're the mess.
Oh, yeah. My God!
You're the mess.
If no one you know is a mess, you're the mess.
It could be you.
Oh, boy.
Talk about going down the road and breaking into the radio industry and... You know, Al's just never been the same. He's such a wreck. Watching Bob Newhart at 3 a.m. Obsessed with MASH.
Yeah.
Well, I was obsessed with MASH back then. That part hasn't changed any. Yeah.
Most likely to kiss radar.
Oh, Walter Eugene!
That's a real weird mock electron to have. That's a wild so one, you know?
That's so weird.
But I thought it was an interesting like thought process of like, yeah, when you read something and you're like, man, that Kitty Pryde is not the Kitty Pryde that I was reading back when Chris Claremont was writing. Well, no, she has grown as a character.
Sure.
Instead of just being like, oh, that guy doesn't get it. So going forward now, I'm always going to think about that whenever I'm, you know, reading a comic. Like, famously, Mike Carey took over Hellblazer way back in the day after a couple of writers that I really liked had done it. And after a year, I was like, this is not the John Constantine. Yeah, well, this sucks.
Every goddamn time Grant Morrison takes over one of my characters, it seems to go through a drug phase.
Yeah, Well, look, Kyle Rayner is just, he's growing as a character.
Yeah.
He's learning new abilities, and he's trying out LSD.
And everyone's got a wizard beard when Alan Moore.
He's got a wizard beard. What are you going to do? Hey, you guys probably saw this. Sam Raimi is taking over Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
The Doctor Strange sequel. How do you guys feel about this?
I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I'm good.
I think he'll do a good job.
Because, I mean, there is Spider-Man 3, but then there's also Evil Dead.
Yeah, but I feel like Sam Raimi, if the way they're talking how they want the Doctor Strange movie to go,
yeah,
I think he'll fit in just fine.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope we get kind of a you know, like horror movie Sam Raimi. Drag Me to Hell Sam Raimi.
Yeah. And I think I saw like a picture online. Are they alluding to like somehow Spider-Man's going to be involved?
I think there's a weird
spider suit. I don't know if that was real or not, but I saw it and I
think we saw the same picture. And I think that's just like a fan edit.
It's a red herring. Okay.
Right, exactly. But they have been saying that this Doctor Strange movie, because it's supposed to be, it's subtitled
the multiverse. Yeah.
Multiverse of Madness. Whatever, this may be how we get the X-Men. This may be how we get the Fantastic Four, all that stuff. This may merge universes so that they can, you know, this is how they inevitably
the one movie
introduce these characters.
Unite them all.
Yeah, right.
Doctor Strange.
I'm really interested, too, going forward. I don't know if we talked about this, but, you know, we had all the Phase 1 Marvel movies, and they led up to the Avengers.
Yeah.
And, like, now that that's over, I hope that maybe the next thing is leading up to putting X-Men together in the same fashion. Like, I would think it would be awesome if in the Black Panther sequel, Storm is there. And then, like, say, in this multiverse movie, if they've got, you know, like, one of the X-Men is in that. If they pepper the X-Men throughout these movies, and then eventually it leads to an X-Men movie where all these side characters that have been introduced in other movies all come together and are the X-Men.
That'd be actually cool. That'd be a cool thing to see if they could pull it off. I mean, they pulled it off with the Avengers and stuff.
So, yeah.
I mean, they have the ability and they have the money to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right. I really enjoy the way they introduced, you know, like Black Panther and Spider-Man and stuff like that. I like that idea of, like, here's a character in somebody else's movie, and then if they do well, they get their own.
And it could be a way to make it sort of interesting, too, because we got all of the meat and potatoes characters already in the whole Avengers saga that we've had so far. And even though, you know, we're going to see Doctor Strange again, and there's still some people sticking around, we're also losing some of those characters as well. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of household X-Men names.
Right.
So that could be a way to keep it interesting. Because there is a lot. We've looked at the next phase and been like, don't know who that is. Don't know who that is. You know, I mean, Chuck knows who most of them are. But
even the Eternals, I'm lost.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know why you're doing an Eternals movie. But at the same time, I didn't know why you were doing a Guardians of the Galaxy movie either. And that worked out.
It did. So. It really did. So we'll see.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I like that idea, though.
Also, I was telling you guys last week about Marvel Unlimited was giving away those
those
subscriptions. Well, the way they did it, I don't think you can go on and check it out anymore, but the way they did it is every hour they would put up a trivia question and you would follow a link, you'd answer the trivia question. So, and you could do it all day. So, like, you could, you know, check out the Twitter at 11 o'clock and then just do all of them. And
so we know what Chuck was doing
like
all day that day.
All day, let me tell you.
So I couldn't get a hold of him, Alan. He was busy trying to answer trivia questions.
Trying to get me 5 years Marvel Unlimited, darn it. I've given them so much advertising on this show.
Yeah, I gave Chuck a taste, and now he's
I feel
he's
like
hooked.
They should be a sponsor. They should at least sponsor me. I don't ask for much, damn it. But it was funny because I got towards the end of the night, and I answered all the questions correctly, and I was like, wait a minute, maybe they want you to get it wrong. Because then you obviously need Marvel Unlimited, because you don't know.
I don't think that's it.
So
please tell me you started tweeting them the wrong answers.
I did.
Okay.
It's awesome.
I got to the end.
Don't think that's what they're looking for, but I love that you did it.
I got to the end and I was like, all right, I'm going to answer like the last three wrong, even if I know them. And it was Al can relate to this. It was really hard because they were like, where did Hawkeye run away to when he left it, when he ran away from his parents? And I'm like, he joined a circus, but I can't say that. So yeah, hopefully I'll have Miss Marvel Unlimited coming up in
I don't think you're going to win that contest, Chuck.
Hope so. Look, guys, listen.
It'd be funny if they just picked everybody who got every single answer correct. He blew it. You blew it.
And I totally blew it.
You blew it.
By getting all of them wrong.
Hello, this is Bean. Almost had it.
Yeah. They said that they're not going to let people know by February 21st. So if they don't give it to me by then I'll just buy the darn thing.
Like, this guy deserves 5 years of Marvel. Oh, he got the last three questions wrong. And he's not even in the ballpark close. Get this guy out of here.
Well,
Marvel,
we were
poser.
Give it to him, but he had a stroke.
Yeah.
Oh my god. All right, well, the other thing that happened over the weekend is Netflix released the first season of Lock and Key. You guys heard me talking this show up last week on Nerd Radio. I'm a huge fan of the comic, and I'm about halfway through the show. I binged a whole bunch of it last night. In fact, we watched, I think, like 3 or 4 episodes, and I love it.
Good?
It is really good. It is...
Are there any recognizable faces on the cast?
The only person that I knew going into the show is the kid that plays the youngest. His name is Bodhi on the show, or on Lock and Key. He's Georgie from Stephen King's It.
Oh, okay.
The remake?
The little kid, yeah.
Oh, okay.
From the Stephen King It remake. And let me tell you, this kid is going places.
Yeah?
He's got some great scenes.
Really?
He is funny. He is really good. And it's funny that the two things I've seen him in are both like almost horror related.
Yeah.
But all the casting is amazing. If a character doesn't look exactly like their comic book version, they feel like the comic book version.
Gotcha.
Even, you know, like the dad, you get a bunch of flashbacks of the dad, and he's really great. The Dodge, which is the big villain of the season, she is a fantastic actress, and she moves between charming and exceedingly evil very easily, and it's really great. The girl that plays Kinsey is great. The younger, Aaron Ashmore is in it as the older, the uncle, all of them.
So does the Netflix program pull directly from the comics? Like, are you seeing exact storylines in the comics being conveyed on
Netflix? That's the other thing that's really, really interesting is that this is a complete reinterpretation of the thing. So if you've read the comics, you'll see characters like Dodge that you're like, I know who that is. Or you'll see a key and you'll be like, I know what that key does. But it subverts your expectations in interesting ways. And I'm... Personally, I am not angry about any of the ways that it is different.
I think it's split on how people react to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes people get really upset because they feel passionate about the story they already know.
Sure.
And that you're, you know, upsetting the balance, I guess. But I don't know. I think it's okay. I remember when Walking Dead first debuted.
Right.
And the first episode was right off of the pages of the comic, and I loved it. And the second episode immediately already took a turn.
Diverted.
And at first, I had that reaction like, well, this never happened. What the hell? And then I kind of like stepped back and went, you know what, though? If this had happened to Rick Grimes, it's exactly how he would have handled it. So it's still the spirit of the thing that I love. It's just not the example. Besides, whatever. I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, so that's cool.
And I feel like you'd want it to be a little bit different, because if you read all the comics, you already know exactly what's going to happen.
That's right. I was going to say, is that it's awesome if you know the source material going in to still get a different experience and to still get a very enjoyable experience instead of being like, oh, well, and by episode 4, this is going to happen, and then by episode 6, this is obviously going to happen.
And then for me, so like using The Walking Dead as an example, I know there's scenes that are ripped straight from the pages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Negan scene, you know, when somebody gets bashed.
Yeah.
Somebody has sent me that book.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is page for page, right? You know, the show is right out of this book.
Mm.
But then there's other things that I'm like, oh, these don't relate at all.
Right.
But for me, it was an enjoyable experience then to see it two different ways.
Yeah.
So with the Lock and Key, would you say it leans more towards thriller, scary, or?
It's interesting because it has scary moments, but like there's no real jump scares in this movie.
Okay.
It's definitely more thriller.
Okay.
It's a lot of supernatural. It's a little bit like, it feels like Harry Potter, because there's the house has the magic keys and only the kids can see the magic.
It's a little more fantasy.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. It's definitely, it's a little scary, but it's good for you. Like it's kid level scary.
Okay, cool. Because I'm trying to find a show my fiance and I can watch together. Because
I highly recommend
it's so
the show.
Hard. And she tried watching Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I guess.
Yes.
That was blowing up on Netflix. So
I can't believe there's 3 seasons of that.
Is it 3 seasons?
Yes. Okay. I feel like it was just last year that they're like, hey, we're doing Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I'm like, oh, that sounds fun. Mm-hmm. And now they're like a week ago, I'm like, oh, there's 3 goddamn seasons of this.
Because she had it on and it seemed like it wasn't as much Sabrina the Teenage Witch as Sabrina the Supernatural Lawyer, because it seemed like there's a lot of stuff going on in court.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not my Sabrina.
No.
Not my Sabrina.
I didn't even know this was is it a continuation or is it a reboot?
It is a reboot because it's supposed to be more horror based. Like there's a coven of witches, they're summoning old gods, they're worshiping Satan.
Yeah, I don't
see
that.
This doesn't sound like TGIF at all.
Not at all.
Yeah. I want to see the black cat that's very poorly
Salem.
Done.
Yeah, right.
I want to see Salem as a puppet, and I want to see Melissa Joan Hart.
Yep.
Right.
No, otherwise not my Sabrina.
For sure. No, I would highly recommend the Lock and Key show. And the thing that's cool is I'm seeing a lot of people in the chat that are watching the show, you know, with it coming out. I highly recommend the books as well because you get the same reaction I'm having with the experience being different with the show if you watch the show and then go back in the books. The books are very tight, and there's a lot of stuff that happens that's all comes together in the six graphic novels.
Awesome.
That is absolutely fantastic. So it's really, really cool to see a good adaptation of a book that I already like, and I hope that it leads to a lot of people going and checking out the comic.
And that happens sometimes, man. Like, you know, a shop will stack up on a thing.
Let me tell
you
that when Walking Dead hit, man. There was a couple of years of just Walking Dead money for comic shops.
Yeah.
At least the ones that I frequent. There was a couple of years of like every week we got to get these couple of graphic novels back in because we're out of them.
Sold out so fast. Yeah.
Yeah.
When the shop I used to go to was still around, I mean, there would just be an announcement of the Guardians of the Galaxy movie is coming. And then so like they would start stocking up because they were so hot. People were seeing, oh, I don't know anything about that Guardians. Let me go learn some stuff. And they'd have.
As soon as it was hitting the mainstream, like, you got to stock up for the people who aren't already into the game that know what's going on.
Obviously, like, Thanos was the big reveal at the end of the first Avengers movie.
Yeah,
and
right.
You better believe there was some Jim Starlin comics up there at the comic shop the very next day, you know?
I'm glad you brought up Jim Starlin. He's actually going to be at the con in a couple weeks.
Great Lakes. Okay, yep. Very cool.
So that's going to be kind of neat. They always have some neat older guys that worked in with Marvel. I know that the guy who one of the creators of Black Panther is local, and he is there every year.
Really?
Yeah, which is kind of cool. And Jim Steranko is going to be there. He did Nick Fury back in the 60s and 70s, which is real cool. It's funny too because I'm reading a book right now that
no pictures
with no pictures in it.
Whoa!
Which is absolutely
I came into the studio one day and he had it out. And I was like, is that a book without pictures? And he responded,
"It's gone crazy."
but it's a book about pictures.
It's a book about books with pictures.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's my workaround.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Marvel Comics, The Untold Story, and it kind of goes through the history of Marvel Comics. I'm into the 70s right now, halfway through the book, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think it goes right on up to when the first Avengers movie comes out. I'm really looking forward to the stuff in the like 80s and 90s when I was reading.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was... That was when I was reading books, so I'm really interested in what was going on behind the scenes.
Help you solve some mysteries. We're like, why did they end up taking this turn?
Why did they push this character and then all of a sudden stop using him whatsoever? What happened there? Oh, it's because somebody got fired and somebody else came in and they were like, yeah, we're not doing that. All right, well, let's take a short break. I got a couple of news things to hit, including some Ghostbusters news. I don't know if James has heard about this yet, but I think I'm going to make him pretty mad. Ghostbusters.
Oh, James can nerd rage.
There we go. So we look forward to that coming up on Nerd Radio.
Can't wait.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
You're a talking turtle.
And you're a human nerd.
Now hit it.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Run for your life.
Hey, man, look at me rocking out. I'm on the radio.
Welcome back to more Nerd Radio with James Albeck and Chuck Bean. Wherever you get your podcasts, it's part of the Beepod Studios Network on Checkpoint XP's Twitch stream. Wednesday afternoons at?
Twitch.tv/CheckpointXP.
Weren't ready for that, were you?
No, for some reason, I'm used to you always going to
I always
the
go
podcast
to Al first.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, wait, I think you said Twitch channel.
Right.
What's funny is I went through the same thing. You said it. I went, huh? Oh, wait, he said Twitch, right?
It's not my turn yet.
Line!
Well, really, I was thinking about it. I'm like, we're going to get dinged on YouTube for copyright infringement. System of a Down, yeah. And the Cantina song.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Cantina song. Well, yep. No one goes. Disney doesn't go after anyone for anything.
Never.
Well,
no.
They took down an elementary school.
Yeah, they did. It's not like it really
for watching the Lion King.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like it really affects us. But anytime I see that when I upload the stuff, the different episodes, if you want to, you can go back and watch the archive of the Nerd Radio since we've been recording it at youtube.com/nerdradio101. Every time I upload a video, then all of a sudden I'd be like, copyright notice. I'm like, what have we done? Oh, okay, whatever. That's because we have a song and an opening or whatever.
Right.
That's flagging it to where we can't monetize that episode. But.
Yeah, well.
Oh, well.
They're not there. They're not there for us to make money.
I was going to say, Chuck and I have been doing this show a long time. I don't think we've ever monetized anything.
No, not at all.
But every time I see it, I freak out. I'm like, we violated a copyright. Oh, but it's just, okay, cool. So now Star Wars will get a penny every time somebody clicks an ad on the channel.
Yeah, hey, that's cool.
Yeah.
We'd gladly give Star Wars at least. We've given Star Wars more than a penny. All the movies we've seen.
But
all the
they
action,
owe us.
All the action
so
figures
much.
We bought.
These bastards. They owe us.
Have you guys noticed, this is something that I wanted to bring up. Have you guys noticed the explosion of memes based on the prequels ever since Rise of Skywalker came out? Like, my favorite is I keep seeing the scene with Dark Sidious, the robot that's got the four arms.
Yeah.
And it's when Obi-Wan Kenobi, jumps up and he's like, hello there. And it's like, General Kenobi. And I keep seeing, like, on TikTok, people using the audio for different stuff. And it cracks me up every time. But it's like a whole bunch of people have found joy in the prequels now that the new ones are done. And it's really fascinating.
Are they finding joy or are they finding things to just make fun of?
Things to meme, essentially. Just finding parts of it to enjoy instead of just being like, yeah, the prequels are awful. Like, no, there's stuff in there that's fun.
A use for them.
Yeah,
exactly.
Stuff in there that's fun. Jar Jar Binks is stupid, but kind of fun.
No, he's not fun.
Other than taking up shelf space on my DVD collection, you know, it's really all they do. They don't ever get watched, but I feel like I got to keep them just because it's part of the story. Because
Star Wars.
Yeah.
All right, so another thing I know you're super into, James, is Ghostbusters. Of course, we've got a new Ghostbusters movie coming out in July. And ahead of that, in June, in time for Ghostbusters Afterlife, Twinkies.
Yeah! I know where he's going with
this. Is doing a Ghostbusters Twinkie.
Yeah.
That's a big Twinkie. No, it's a regular-sized Twinkie. However, the inside filling is blue.
Yeah, I don't get why it's blue.
I would have thought green.
Yeah, same
and
here.
And they did green when Answer the Call came out. They did Ghostbusters Twinkies with green lime green filling because the slime is supposed to be green.
Yeah.
But it's blue. Why is blue?
I don't get what the blue is coming from.
Blue balled your Twinkie.
Well, I mean, that's okay, I guess, but.
there better be blue slime in the movie.
That's the only thing I can think of if it's some sort of a tie-in. But I don't know where the blue comes from.
That better be part of the whole, you know, because like in the second movie they had the pink slime and that did something. So like they better be just giving us different colors of slime that do different things.
Yeah, what do you think the blue slime? Slime makes you all depressed and sad.
Right. Okay.
That's my blue problem.
So the
pink, oh my god, if you cut me open, I got blue slime in me.
So the pink slime was mood slime that they could affect mood with.
Yeah, made people angry and aggressive.
So what do we
wanted to fight?
What do we think the blue slime might be instead of mood?
That's why I think it makes you depressed.
Yeah.
Green Lantern, it's hope.
That's true. What if the blue slime affects like intelligence instead of mood?
Oh, I don't have that.
Because
part of the
trailer, part of what you see is that they've found like a whole bunch of stuff underneath the house that the kids are at.
Yeah.
And they have a bunch of the costumes and you see that like one of them says Spengler on it. Mm-hmm. So that implies that like Egon moved out to this farmhouse at some point. What if maybe he was... He found blue slime out in wherever they are, and then he got dumb.
Possibly, but somebody on the Twitch channel, just Chris Berg, said, what if it's Viagra slime?
Yeah.
Blue slime makes you horny.
Yeah.
Why is this Twinkie so hard?
My God.
You know why. It's full of that Viagra slime.
Oh, my God.
Better question is, why am I so hard?
Yeah.
Because
Twinkie knocked my teeth out.
Hope it's not toothpaste. That'd be disgusting. Toothpaste in a Twinkie.
Yeah, I wonder. Like, the blue collar, though, reminds me of a lot of the different, some of the ghost characters from the real Ghostbusters cartoon.
Yeah, I can see
that. Like, I feel like you'd see some of the ghosts with that same shade of blue. It's definitely a Ghostbusters blue, though. It's a very unique shade of blue.
I'm surprised out of all the stuff that, you know, our generation is now the generation that's in charge of making stuff, and that's why we still get Ninja Turtle stuff, and we get Power Rangers come back and all this stuff. I'm surprised that they've not tried to do another Ghostbusters cartoon.
Oh, I would
in the last like 10 years.
I would say I'd love that, but I feel like it's never going to hold the same value as the original. You know, I feel like
that's true.
Hey, remember what happened? We just talked about when they redid DuckTales. How disappointing that was.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
it broke my heart. Oh my God, DuckTales!
They even gave you David Tennant as Scrooge McDuck, and you were like, nope.
Because even if you go back and you watch some of the old cartoons and stuff, I'm like, why did this captivate me so much as a child?
Oh, for sure.
You know, I'm like,
I've tried watching some of the X-Men animated series on the Disney Plus app, and it's not great.
Yeah, you're like, ooh.
But as a kid, I was super into it.
Oh, yeah.
I was so excited to see X-Men on the TV.
Yeah, because even me going back to Gummy Bears, like the Adventures of the Gummy Bears cartoon, I'm like, I'd love to get that nostalgia trip watching it, but at the same time, I'm like, why did I watch this cartoon on weekend mornings? This is silly. These bears drink this juice, and they bounce around, and they go after some guy with the goatee, you know, and it doesn't make any sense.
That's because in your adult life, that's called Florida's effed up.
Okay, fair enough. That's true. It's bath salts. Yeah.
There's the theme song.
It's just ringing true. It's hitting home.
Yeah, but some of the things, like, it's just weird. But also, I've noticed there's a lot more, like, music was used in a different way on older cartoons.
Yeah.
Like, it really sets the mood, and it's...
It feels like it was constant in cartoons out of the 80s. If you watch old G.I. Joes or Transformers, there is never a point that does not have music behind it.
Yeah.
And it's the same, like, five songs or something like that, which is funny because you'll hear the same song in G.I. Joe that you hear in Transformers because they're both put together by the same animation company. But it's constant. There is never a moment of quiet and just people talking.
Yeah.
There's always something going on.
So it's weird seeing the differences in modern and older cartoons.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah, but I would love to see a new Ghostbusters cartoon. That would be some fun stuff.
Yeah, I would definitely check it out. And I wonder, like, would it be based off of the real Ghostbusters cartoon? Is it based off movie characters?
Would they, make some new characters or something like that?
Are they going to have animated Venkman, you know, as an older Venkman, and it'd still be the Venkman from the original Ghostbusters?
Is Dave Coulier still going to be the voice?
Was Dave Coulier the voice?
Pete Venkman, yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, for sure. It's a real weird thing. I don't know how much of it is urban legend and how much of it is just coincidence, but Bill Murray plays Pete Venkman in the movies. Dave Coulier does the voice of Venkman in the cartoon. At the same time, he's doing the voice of Garfield.
I was going to say, the same person that does Garfield and a couple other cartoon characters.
Right. And then when they do a Garfield movie, Bill Murray gets that role. Yeah. And I don't know how much of that is Bill Murray screwing Dave Coulier because he didn't appreciate that he was Venkman, and how much of that is just coincidence.
That's
but it's
wild.
Amazing.
I'm getting real weird deja vu. Did we talk about cartoon voices last week? Garfield and...
Maybe.
Or did I have a conversation with somebody else?
You know what? We were talking about Bill Murray because of that the Super Bowl commercial where he did Groundhog's Day.
Yeah, and we did a whole on the morning show. We talked about Bill Murray ending
Maybe
up on Garfield. I think that's what you're thinking of.
That's probably whatever. I'm like,
yeah. Because then it brought back the whole Zombieland thing. Like, I have no regrets. Well, maybe Garfield. Maybe Garfield. Whole line. And yeah. Okay.
So sorry. Yeah, but I was just like, it's got the weird deja vu. I'm like,
I think
I've had this conversation with Chuck before, but I don't remember when.
It was a morning show conversation like a week and a half ago.
Because I was like, yeah. Exactly what you said. I had mentioned that.
So. Yeah, okay. Very cool. But another thing I want to bring up before we go is that IDW, who has the license for a lot of stuff, they do the Ghostbusters comic book.
Yeah, they do a lot of the ones
G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ninja Turtles, they're doing all that stuff.
Crossover.
Couple of cool crossovers coming out for the Transformers. In March, they're doing Transformers versus Terminator.
Ooh.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I'll be real interested to see how that works out. I mean, Terminator is just a normal size, a dude-sized robot. Optimus Prime just going to step on him, right? And then it's over.
Well, you know, Skynet's going to create a giant Terminator that's going to take on an Optimus Prime or whoever.
Yeah, that's it. You know, how do the Cybertronians deal with Skynet? Yeah. That's probably where that miniseries is going. And then we're also getting, over the summer, Transformers meets My Little Pony.
Okay, now that's weird.
Because they also do that particular franchise worth of comics as well.
It'd be funny if the Transformers harvest the My Little Ponies for food or something.
that's how Energon is made.
Yeah, like I would like a storyline like that. So now it's really the My Little Ponies are trying to get freedom from being food slaves because the Transformers.
The Decepticons are enslaving the ponies because their magic can create infinite Energon.
Yeah, no, that's a storyline I could get behind.
And the Autobots are like, don't be mean to those cute ponies. Maybe that's the title.
Ponies crying everywhere.
Maybe that's the title of this week's episode. Don't be mean to those cute ponies. One more thing before we go. I've been meaning to mention this for almost a month now. So at the end of December, a lot of different websites and people were doing their best of 2019 lists. A particular website gets both Kenny Omega of All Elite Wrestling and Xavier Woods, who does Up, Up, Down, Down and works for WWE because they're
part of the New Day.
Right. They're both huge gamers, so they get them for the last couple years to do their top, you know, games of 2019, much less the decade or something like that. Both of them had this game on their list, and I was like, well, I got to check this out then. It's a game you can play on your phone, and it's called Tepin, and it's licensed by Capcom. It is a card game-based format of game that you can play on your phone. It has characters from all a bunch of different Capcom games. You can play as Ryu. You can have a deck based on Ryu. You can have a deck based on characters from Darksiders or Darkstalkers. Mega Man is in there and everything like that. And then there's a couple original characters. And it's a real-time card game. So you don't take turns like you do in Magic, going back and forth. Like you're
sounds
both
like chaos.
You're both playing at the same time.
I'm just starting dropping cards.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, obviously, you have to wait for resources in order to put the cards down. But you play it in real time. I played for about a month. It's fun. It's neat. It's a cool distraction, especially for a phone game. It's surprisingly deep. So I wanted to suggest that to anybody that's looking for something to waste a little bit of time with, because I've wasted quite a bit of time with it. All right. Well, unless you guys got something else, I can do it for this week's Nerd Radio.
Mm. No, I'm good. Oh. I think we covered it all.
All right.
We covered everything that you did the prep for.
Which means we're done.
All right. Fair enough. Well, hey, guys, find us on social media at Nerd Radio 101. Of course, download the podcast. As I was saying at the top of the show, there's an extra episode this week with all the interviews from Astronomicon. So you can check that out. Check out the videos James put up and the video that Astronomicon put up of us talking to Kevin Eastman.
Yeah. Which, again, that was shared on our social media, our Facebook and Twitter, as we recorded this. Nerd Radio 101.
Make sure you're following us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We're on YouTube. Do we have a TikTok yet?
I have not set up a Nerd Radio TikTok.
All right.
But I've just taken some of our clips to put on mine.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Whatever. Follow James' TikTok. Who the F is
Jason?
Well, there was a conversation we had about hunks and who your Channing Tatum was.
Yes.
And there was some funny little gifs of like Keanu Reeves and Nicolas Cage. So I threw those in there because I thought it would be funny. I was like, this is a perfect little 30, 45-second TikTok little video that maybe people who do follow me on TikTok who don't know anything about Nerd Radio, maybe they'll check it out and we'll get a few more listeners.
Hell yeah.
So here's my question, though, because of your track record so far on TikTok. Did we get you banned?
No.
Okay. Because you've had a lot of videos taken down.
No, we all had our shirts on. You know, there's
true.
There's no risk of any genitalia being exposed, and there's nothing overtly sexual about it. So,
however, next week we'll work on getting Al Beck's shirt off for you. So you can look forward to that for next week's Nerd Radio.
My God.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
I have spoken.
All right. Let me fire this up. That's not right. That's not doing it. All right. Let's bang this last one out, and you guys can get rolling.
Bang it out.
Bend
over, Al.
Banging it out.
So cold. Why are your hands cold?
That's not my hand.
How do you get even more troubling? Why is that so cold?
How do you get that to be that cold?
It's a magic trick.
Magic trick.
Standing with his pants down in front of the freezer for 5 minutes.
I have a freezer fetish, guys, okay?
No shame. No. Hey, more power
to
you.
Freezer fetish.
Everybody's got to get it somehow.
You're a talking turtle.
And you're a human nerd. Now hit it.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Run for your life. Hey, man, look at me rocking out. I'm on the radio.
Back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.